Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome back to Lanshan Roosh Cycling Podcast, presented by Zwift. Just me, LRE, today. Benji's traveling from, I don't know where he's traveling. Man's on the move at the moment. And we've got the Vuelta First Rest Day recap, just to let you know about the GC standings going into that first rest day. Evenepoel leading Mas by 112, 153 ahead of Roglic. Rodriguez on 233 in fourth, 3 seconds out of Ayuso on fifth. Yates there, inconspicuous but dangerous, in sixth on 308. Almeida lost a lot yesterday on Perez. He's on 432 in seventh. Lopez, who we've barely seen at all, is in eighth on 503. And Hindley's on 536 in ninth, and Sivakov lost a lot yesterday too on 539. So a lot of riders between 5 and 6 minutes from 8th until 15th. There's about 7 riders on that gap. Even Menkes has come into GC for top 10 a little bit too, but we've had a lot of the hard mountain stages already. What I wanted to talk about today, there's the TT tomorrow. Remco Evenepoel's the favourite for it. I think he will win the stage and take more time on everybody, evidently. What I want to talk about today is Movistar and Spanish cycling. It is the Vuelta after all. And we've got an interview coming up with Sergio Rodriguez, who was a rider for Euskadi Murias. He's now a cycling trainer. He also is a contributor to Alcola del Peloton, which is one of the biggest Spanish language cycling podcasts. But there's been a lot going on with Movistar. There was El Día Menos Pensado, the Netflix series, where they got a lot of criticism or mocked because they opened their doors and people, you know, saw dysfunction, which is not unique to them. It happens with all cycling teams, but they were the only ones maybe to put it on full display like that, which made the series very successful. But the added pressure this year has been the World Tour relegation battle, which I haven't done any dedicated sort of podcasts to here, but there's been a lot on LanchonRouge.com.au by fortnightly updates. There's also the daily tracker. And I can see on the statistics of that, in August, the largest country going to the LanchonRouge.com.au website is Spain for an English language website. So there's huge interest in Movistar in the relegation battle. If you don't know, only World Tour licenses are on a 3-year cycle. That cycle is up, and 2023 is the start of a new 3-year cycle from 23 to 25. Only 18 licenses for World Tour will be issued. So it isn't technically relegation. Your license just doesn't get renewed, but let's call it relegation and promotion. Arkea and Alpecin are pro teams who have applied for World Tour, and the World Tour relegation and promotion is decided by a 3-year triennium ranking, which has all their UCI points from the last 3 years, from their top 10 rider from each of those years. It's incredibly complicated. There's a how-to, or there's an explainer role did on at the start of the year on the website. But long story short, Movistar are in trouble. Valverde hasn't scored as many points this year as he might have in previous years. Enric Mas, they've been on a bit of a downward slide since the departure of Landa, Carapaz, and Quintana, but they've had a down year this year too, with Mas crashing out of Tirreno Adriatico when he was in very good shape on the Carpeña stage following Bilbao on a descent. He crashed in the Basque Country stage. I'm not sure who he was following there. He didn't DNF, but he finished in ninth on GC. He was going to finish in the top fifth on GC. So he's not even in their top 5 point scorers, which he would be expected to be. Now, that might change if he can hold on to second or even fourth in the Vuelta. And it's been interesting to see, and he spoke about this in the press conference interviews today, how there is pressure on him to kind of be defensive, which is how he's been portrayed as a very defensive rider, but he wants to go for the win. He's come second in the Vuelta twice now, last year and in 2018 on Quickstep. But if he risks the podium, if he goes from second to fifth trying to get to first, even if there's a 5% chance of going to first, he loses a lot of potential points for Movistar, and they're only, as of recording, 300 points ahead of Lotto, who will score barely any points in the Vuelta, but will score a lot in the Belgian semi-classics that seem to be on every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and Arno de Lee keeps scoring. Or Britannia Classic, he scored like 250 points at yesterday, which is a World Tour one-day race. So 300 points is not very much, given that one result like that, a second in a World Tour race, like a Quebec Classic or a Montreal Classic, that can close the gap in a single race. Now, obviously, Mas needs to, he'll hold on for GC, and he only gets those GC points at the end of La Vuelta. So Movistar are in big trouble or at risk. They're only 50 points behind Bike Exchange, 100 points behind EF. It's incredibly tight. Israel looked pretty much out of it. But I wanted to get Sergio on the podcast to discuss with someone like, why is there so much pressure on Enric Mas? Why? And also, subjectively speaking, anecdotally, just looking at Twitter and things like that, it seems to me that the Spanish fan base of Movistar is quite critical of the team, which is a good thing in moderation. There's other fan bases of other teams, won't name any names, but any criticism, even valid, even constructive, being like, maybe Bruno Amirel was a good enough rider to go to the Tour de France, the French national time trial champion. No criticism is allowed of those teams. So, but this with Movistar, it seems to have boiled over. This year we see that the car has almost been chanted at. One of Raul's articles, people chanting about them being relegated. And after Aaron Brew won Tour de Limousin, a 2.1 race, which brought a decent haul of points, they tweeted, believe in this team, like trying to rally support behind them. Because at the end of the day, I don't think any Spanish fan wants to see their only World Tour team get relegated. And it's kind of not Enric Mas. I mean, I think Enric Mas should be lauded. I mean, I'm sure maybe the way he and Miguel Angel Lopez worked together could have been better in the Vuelta and Tour de France last year. But at the end of the day, the guy got COVID in the Tour. He said he had literally terrified during descents, which, you know, one can sympathize with. And yet 3 weeks later, he's lining up at the Vuelta, battling out for second, going in some sketchy descents, so trying to save their license. So people did rally around him, though. There was an incident with a fan, which we'll get into with Sergio, where the fans were heckling him and just a lot of built-up pressure. So often we maybe focus on certain teams or the biggest teams in the Vuelta. Movistar is one of them. So something I'm trying to do more of is really focusing on all the teams and maybe have someone who's following them day-to-day come and talk about it. So here's the interview with Sergio. As I said, former rider for Úskedi Murias, and you can find him on Twitter in the link description as well. But before we get into that, mention our show partner, Zwift. Zwift Academy is back for 2022. Registration is open now. Whether you're aiming for a pro contract like Jay Vine or Neve Bradbury, or are just looking to kickstart your fitness with some structured sessions, Zwift Academy will help you get fitter and have more fun on the bike. There are 6 workouts to complete, either solo or in group workouts with baseline rides to compare your progress. That's Zwift Academy. In all seriousness, check it out. I'm here with Sergio. Now we're going to have a bit of a Spanish sort of section of the podcast on the rest day. It is La Vuelta after all. And I just want to ask, is Enric Mas outperforming expectations of what you thought at the first rest day for this Vuelta, sitting in second place behind Evenepoel? And do you think Movistar are pretty happy with where he is right now?
Hi, Patrick. No, Enric Mas is in a good shape. It's very strange because he had a very complicated Tour de France, like we saw on TV. And he came from this Vuelta with a lot of questions in his mind, no, about the climbs and the descents. And we asked him just before the Vuelta, and he told us that He's going to race day by day. And for me, another thing for everyone, also for Movistar, it's a surprise that he's very, very close to Remco Evenepoel every day. And being in second position in the GC in the second rest day, the first in Spain.
It's crazy because it's not just that he's kind of doing pretty well. He's in like his best ever shape just about, because Remco's climbing performances are crazy. I can't believe how well Mas is doing after, I think he got sick. Did he have COVID in the tour? He pulled out. Was he sick? I know he had the descending problems, but I swear he was sick as well.
Yes, he had COVID and he went home, but I think the problem for Enric Mas is his mind. No, he has mind problems, and he has been working with. He told us with professional of the sport, but I think he's working with psychologists and trying to be with low pressure. Because I think the worst problem for him is himself and his mind.
And yeah, the pressure is huge on him at the moment, this year in particular. Not just like, there's always pressure for the GC, a Spanish GC leader for Movistar to get a good result in the Tour and especially La Vuelta. But this year, it's the points. There's like this double pressure from the relegation battle. But before we get to that, I want to discuss a really weird incident that happened the other day, which the listeners might not have seen or heard of in the English media. After one of the stages, I think in the Basque Country, I can't remember which stage it was, there was an incident. I'll play it now and see if you can, just so you can hear what was said in Spanish, and we'll get Sergio to actually tell us what was said.
Yo te llamo paquete.
¿Y tú que eres tonto o qué?
Pues soy tonto, ¿por qué? ¿Por qué? ¿Por qué? ¿Por llamarte paquete?
¿Alguna vez una hostia?
No me da.
¿Esa cara de tonto que tienes?
No me da.
I'm gonna try to explain that.
it was
in La Guardia I think it was on Tuesday last.
The Roglic stage.
Yeah, Roglic stage, and he did third in this stage, no, in the final climb, short climb, and after the stage, one fan for telling me because it's not Enric Mas fan, obviously, told him that he was very bad cyclist. No, in Spanish he said paquete. It's like you are very bad doing something. And Enric Mas stopped with the fan and answered him that you are stupid and I'm gonna hit you if you continue like this. So this fan put the video on Twitter for having more hate for Enric Mas, but the answer of the Twitter people was the opposite and go with Enric Mas, and now this account is delayed and you can't find the video on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw it and I was like, it's weird because he came third in that stage, way better than I expected. And it's curious, like, what is the general, maybe before this Vuelta, not people literally abusing him after the race, but what has been the theme of Enric Mas or the typical things people think of him, like Spanish journalists? Because I see some of it, it's like he never attacks, he's too defensive. That sort of, is that generally like he doesn't live up to what Contador was?
Just the story of Enric Mas started when he was racing in Quick Step, when he won a stage in Itulia, and in the same year he did second in the overall of La Vuelta. I think it was in 2018, and in this year it was a big cyclist, big fan. Everyone was fan of Enric Mas because he was a happy rider. No, he was all attacking every day, and it was an amazing rider for everyone. But after this, he became an other cyclist. I think because the pressure, no? He has a lot of pressure because he started in the Alberto Contador team in Fundación Contador, and every media said after doing second in the Vuelta that he could become the new Alberto Contador, no? And I think this situation put a lot of pressure on himself. And after this, he signs a contract with Movistar, and he became other cyclist, no? Very, very sad, very calm, never attack.
I don't know, Contador was always attacking, but still, even so, last year he came second in La Vuelta on Movistar, lost to Roglic. I thought that's a really good result. I thought that was, he even attacked Roglic on Velafique. Like, he was attacking. And what's curious to me is, like, I look at, take for an example, Steven Kruijswijk or Wilco Kelderman, maybe quite similar riders in their peaks, like quite, they follow the pace, they're consistent, you know, they get second to fifth GC results in World Tour racing, they don't win so many races. Dutch fans don't hate on Steven Kruijswijk or Wilco Kelderman, like Kruijswijk in particular, like very popular. And so I wonder if it's like a, is it a cultural thing that the Spanish fans want an attacking rider, or Contador has set like the expectation that they'll be very attacking, but Valverde doesn't attack ever. So I don't know. It's, I don't know why Mas gets all the criticism. I think it's just, yeah, Spanish GC guy on a Spanish team. Do you think it's like, is the comparison you say when he was on Quickstep, attacking, is that kind of like Juan Ayuso now? Everyone's saying Juan Ayuso, Carlos Rodriguez, wow, wow, wow. But Rodriguez could turn into be a very defensive rider, 60, 62 kilograms as well.
Yeah, for sure. But I don't know. Movistar team for the last 3 years, he's been down, no? He left very, very good riders like Nairo Quintana, I don't know, Andre Amador, Castroviejo, Mikel Landa, and
Carapaz,
and more and more. And this became an environment to be a, I don't know, a not big, a small team, no? And this is, I think, this situation is also bad for Enric Mas because he's becoming also smaller than the wood rider like he is, no? Like you say, I think Enric Mas is as better as we call Kerman Delmar or more, no? But I think in Spain it's important to attack, no? And to be something, if you attack and you don't want, it's okay. But if you don't attack, if you don't want, it's bad for the fans. Valverde is a hero because even if never attacks, he won. And it's incredible, no, for him.
And I'm looking at this Vuelta and I'm thinking if Movistar want to get the most points possible, I think Mas beating Remco is going to be very, very difficult. But second is looking good. But there's the time trial against Roglic on tomorrow. And yesterday, Mas followed Evenepoel, and he admitted himself afterwards he shouldn't have followed him. He should have done his own rhythm, and it cost him time. And Ayuso actually came and then took some time. So even on, how do you say, Colau Fanquia, their new climb on stage 8, I feel like Mas, and it's crazy to see this, but he almost attacked Remco. I feel like he wanted to make a point that he would attack Remco on stage 8, even though it almost cost him a second. But what's the sentiment in Spain at the moment about Movistar and the relegation battle? Is it very negative? Is it hopeful? Because I saw the tweet the other day from the team saying believe in this team after Aramburu won Limousin. What's the feeling at the moment?
For a Spanish cyclist, it will be a disaster, no? If Movistar less World Tour license for next year, no? It's a very, very aggressive battle between Lotto, Soudal and Movistar because Israel is far away from these two teams. But people, I think, is hope to have Enric Mas in the podium of Madrid and has these points, these UCI points, because it will be very important for Movistar. But it's going to be very close between these two teams until Langkawi, no? It's going to be the last race of the season. But people, I think, is with hope to have next year Movistar in World Tour.
Because if they go down, that means La Vuelta has to invite Movistar as a wild card.
Yeah, it's a problem also because this is the only World Tour team in Spain for many years, no? And there are four pro teams behind Movistar. It's Caja Rural, Euskaltel, Ken Pharma and Burgos, and one of these teams is out of La Vuelta for this year. And if Movistar would lose the license for next year, it's going to be two teams out of La Vuelta, and it will be very, very, with a lot of problems for having the sponsors for the next couple of years.
I think there are too many pro teams in Spain. I think four is too many. And even in French cycling, I think there's too many because the Spanish pro teams do not perform as well as a Uno X maybe. And I feel like if you consolidated the talent, and Asperen, Garcia, you had them all on the same team. I know there's from different regions, but maybe the team could then get better results and attract better riders. I don't know. Like, if one of the pro teams was really good, does Carlos Rodriguez go there while he's doing university instead of anywhere else? I don't know. Is there a concern at the moment that it's great that Ayuso and Rodriguez are doing well, two young Spanish guys, 21 and 19, but they're not on Movistar? Does it matter to the fans that they're not on Movistar, or as long as a Spanish young rider is doing well, it doesn't matter?
Yes, it's the problem of Movistar, no? Because there are good Spanish riders, good young Spanish riders with a lot of talent, no? Doing very interesting thing from junior and until today, no? That we are seeing that they are one of the top five riders in La Vuelta today. We're going to see, because it's their first 3 weeks race for Juan Ayuso and from Carlos. And this is a problem for Movistar, no? Because I don't know if they have the money to catch them for next year. But maybe their problem is the environment of the team, no? That the team is becoming, like I said, not top level, a World Tour level team, no? And the Spanish young riders prefer to go to Ineos, to UAE or Jumbo, no? Because they are very, very big teams, bigger, even more bigger than Movistar. And I think they think that they're gonna will become greater riders if they are in these teams and not in Movistar.
And there's actually no pressure on Ayuso at UAE. It's, even though he's maybe the best 19-year-old climber ever, best teenage climber ever, like, he's done better numbers than Remco did when he was 19 yesterday. Like, Ayuso's performance yesterday was completely insane. But Pogacar's on that team. Almeida's on that team. Even Soler's probably on more money than Ayuso. And so there hasn't really been – he came into this Vuelta with no pressure. If he just lost loads of time and went for stage in the breakaway, no one would care. But if he was on Movistar, like, the pressure would be a lot more. Even the Rodriguez, people probably thought, oh, it'd be a domestique for Carapaz. But then there's less pressure sort of on the big teams, which is kind of the opposite of what you would think. Whereas if you get paid the big money, this is what happened to Enric, comes from Quickstep, big contract, the one guy, well, you better not crash out of Basque Country or come, you know, he would have come, I think, third in Basque Country this year because he dropped Remco and Krabbelin. Arate, I think he drops people, but he crashed. Tirreno, he crashed. And then all the points are out the window. And yeah, but he's dealing well with the pressure in the Vuelta. I hope he keeps it up. What do you think is the future for Movistar? It sounds like you think they've stagnated. Like nothing has changed too much for a long time. Same people, still Bala there, although it's La Ultima Bala. What do you think is going to happen next year? Say they stay up, let's assume they don't get relegated. What do you think happens?
I don't know. But 3 years ago, Movistar did a change in the performance team with the boss that today is Patxi Vila, no, in performance team, head of performance. And in these 3 years, I don't know, the results they aren't good and still being bad this year, in my opinion, because they only won one World Tour race, a stage race, that it was in Dauphiné and Carlos Verona. So for next year, I think they will do a restructure in the team, not only in the riders, and change the idea of the team, no? Because for me, the best problem of the Movistar that they are racing like they had the new Indurain in the team, no? Like every Tour de France we saw on TV that they are racing for the GC, even if they hadn't a good rider for being on the podium, no, in the last stage. So with the money of Valverde, I think you can seeing good riders, but good riders for win stage, even if you do your race in France, in Italy, in Spain, but for winning, because Movistar need to win races as soon as possible and to start growing up again to be one of the, I don't know, top 10, top 5 World Tour teams next year in 2023.
Thanks, Sergio, for joining on the rest day. And yeah, we might speak later, maybe before Tour de Langkawi, if the fight is still on there. Thanks for listening to the podcast. As always, big TT tomorrow, big time gaps expected. Remco is going to extend that lead most likely on Enric Mas and just about every GC contender. The question is, what can Roglic bring? He hasn't lost a TT in Spain in quite a long time. We'll be back as normal with the recap of that stage. And yeah, how will Ayuso and Rodriguez go? That's something I don't really know. They've never done a TT this important in their whole careers. But until then, ciao.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.